On June 9th, Suzanne Patlas was arrested while in prayer on Highway 126 in Kent County, New Brunswick. Patlas, a Mi'kmaq woman, was not impeding the immediate movement of SWN Resource Canada's seismic testing equipment. The equipment was about 75 feet from where she was kneeling in the highway. To the RCMP, however, she was clearly in the way, and in mid-prayer, they arrested her and charged her with mischief. Patlas, with no prior convictions, was remanded for 21 hours. Although some people previously arrested in conjunction with the shale gas protests in Kent County were released almost immediately with no conditions attached to their release, the Crown originally requested that Patlas not be allowed within 5 kilometers of SWN's equipment. The presiding judge reduced this to a 1 kilometer distance. Last Friday, August 9th, Patlas was again in court. Unlike 25 of the 35 people arrested in relation to the protests, Patlas has not had her charges dropped. On Friday, she represented herself in court and asked that her conditions be removed due to them being unconstitutional in relation to her charter rights. I caught up with Suzanne outside of the Moncton courthouse and interviewed her amongst a throng of supporters. For the Halifax Media Co-op, I'm Miles Howe. What was your charge today? You were in court, it's August 9th. What happened today and why were you here?
I was here for a plea hearing for charges of mischief for when I was praying, conducting a tobacco ceremony. And my next court date is August 29th because of when I approached the bench, I decided to represent myself, which came as a surprise to the Crown. And then I told them that I wanted the conditions lifted from my charge. And then they said that they would have to review that at a later date because I threw at them my treaty rights and I threw at them the charter violations, which the Crown also didn't see coming. And they said that they're going to need more time to be able to process and to be able to research exactly the defense that they want to present.
So now you were in ceremony, I was there, you were praying, you were on the other hand praying on a highway in front of machinery. Do you think that matters at all, or do you think you should be able to pray wherever the hell you want?
I think I should be able to pray wherever I want, and plus the machines weren't moving at the time. And then the other thing is the police all took my tobacco and they told me to stay on the other side of their police line, in which I did. For that day, I did comply with them, and I was following their imposed rules, even though they were being private security for SWIN at the time.
Now, while you were praying, was it your intent to stop it, or were you going to be done at some point, and they just got impatient and then pretty much grabbed you and arrested you?
Well, they really did get impatient because I was just about to finish my one direction and I had 3 more directions to go. I would have been finished. I wasn't going to be praying there all day, and they severely violated my Aboriginal rights and my treaty rights, and they also violated their own charter and their own constitution by placing me under arrest because I had the strong conviction that I'm a sovereign individual.
Now, today you approached them, you mentioned Section 7 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Can you elaborate a little bit on what that's going to look like, your defense? What sections of the charter are you going to be using to defend yourself here?
Well, Section 15 of the Charter is for equality, and equality meaning that everybody gets to equally practice, you know, whatever it is that they want. And right now, that was violated. You know, they don't go and pull somebody out of church while they're praying, you know, so that's one violation. Section 7 is the violation where I'm supposed to feel safe. And I don't feel safe if I can't know if I'm 1 kilometer away from any site of exploration or drilling. So how is that supposed to make me feel safe and to be able to go to and fro where I'm coming from? And the treaty rights violations is, so I'm supposed to be able to go anywhere within my territory and be able to practice my inherent treaty rights. And if they do not allow me to do that, they are in fact infringing upon my rights.
It's also been quite a summer, I would imagine, for you in terms of your relationships with RCMP. I mean, I personally witnessed them following you, stopping you. Can you maybe describe, over the last 2 months, what has been your interaction with the RCMP in Kent County?
Well, specifically in Kent County, my interaction with the RCMP is anywhere where my vehicle has gone, it has been pulled over for redundant reasons. Once, the last time that they pulled me over was for a phone call for an individual that was in the car, which I found was really ridiculous. Other times they see me somewhere, they yell out my name in public, they continuously harass me. When they're out with their cameras, they're taking pictures of me as if I was some kind of terrorist, which I'm not. I'm just asserting my treaty rights. So, and the other times of when I've bumped into them, they've threatened me with remand in violation of my conditions, which when I'm not even in Kent County or Westmoreland County, when I was up in Northumberland County. So they're trying to push their authority as people wearing a badge just to try to intimidate and to scare me, and they can't break my spirit. So everywhere I have gone and I've bumped into a RCMP officer, they have really forcibly tried to assert their authority. The last incident that I've had with one RCMP, I was driving through in my traditional hunting grounds and she ran up to my vehicle and punched it. And I feel like that was a threat. And I don't really appreciate being threatened like that. And I hope that she takes into careful consideration before she next time she does that, because she doesn't know exactly how she's imposing her authority upon other individuals and harming them in any way. You know, what if that makes me think that next time I bump into her, what is she going to be like other RCMP who have killed Native individuals because of them being a threat? Because I feel like their treatment towards me, not only the RCMP, but also the industrial security and the armed security that they have, they've all specifically targeted me to follow me around. And, you know, isn't it my right to be able to freely roam my territory?
Do you think there's actually been any racism behind the RCMP's motivation to target you in particular?
Well, first of all, I'm a First Nations person. I'm visibly First Nation. My vehicle has been seen at several things that have happened and that have been going on, and I feel like it is severe racial discrimination, because when they have random stops, they're all only stopping the First Nations people and they're not bothering to stop any of the non-Native community members, and that's really suspicious, and that really leans towards severe racial discrimination. I feel like the New Brunswick RCMP, who are supposed to follow a federal mandate but have told me face-to-face that they follow a provincial mandate, which I believe that's a really big conflict of interest. But my wonder is how can they really do what they're doing if they're supposed to be a federal entity? And they randomly stop only First Nations people, and they severely attack them. They go and open up car doors and they take pictures of everybody that's in there and try to blame only the First Nations people for anything that has happened during this movement.
Maybe describe your last 2 weeks since SWIN has ostensibly stopped working. Where have you been? What have you done? What have you seen?
Well, I've seen a lot of people step up to try to find out what exactly SWIN is doing, because they've known to lie. I've been in the background doing several things at once, trying to figure out the next steps for what's happening, but I don't really want to disclose any information, because if anybody hears this, they're going to see it as, you know, this is what she's doing, or this is what she's part of. I really don't want them to target anybody else if anybody speaks to me or anything, for them to be targeted by the New Brunswick Police Force and SWIN. Well, really, SWIN is obviously in bed with Irvin as well, because they moved all of their equipment to the Irvin Shipyard building, and their industrial security is an Irvin entity. So it's a really big circus of events, because even Irvin owns all of the media in New Brunswick, and nobody is covering any of news that is happening within this mutiny.
So far we've seen protests, we've seen people throwing themselves on the line. In the fall, SWIN is slated to come back. Can we hope for perhaps a defense against them in the form of treaty defense or title defense?
Well, I think the only way to really be able to stop this is to assert title over the land and to take back what's inherently ours. But the one thing that I noticed that about the people that you described that have been involved in the movement, all of their charges have been lifted, except that I know of myself and two other individuals. And I'm the only Indigenous woman and the only woman with the charges left remaining. And a lot of the charges were, you know, the circumstances were different. But I can't really fathom in my own mind why all of these other charges were dropped and yet three remain. I think all of the ones that remain have been targeted by the company and by the province and by the RCMP.
So you don't put any weight in the argument that it was because those people appeared before the court already and that's why they can't remove them?
Well, when I appeared before a court, it was because I was remanded and I have no prior convictions, which is also redundant for them to even do that to me. And I wasn't even in the system for a plea hearing yet, which was a lot of the people who were first attending court who had an earlier court date than me, their charges were also lifted. For the other ones, their charges should have been lifted because one of them didn't even appear before a court. And the one who was charged because of him did. But it's really crazy to see how all of it is connected and how deeply entrenched this corruption is.
Do you have any message for Swin, if they're listening, on what to expect when they try to come back in the fall?
I think Swin should be really prepared for a real opposition and for them to realize that we belong on this land and we're going to stay on this land and we're going to defend this land because it's our treaty rights to do so and it's our inherent responsibility from the Creator. And they're going to see something that they've probably never seen before, and it's a revolution and it's an uprising of like-minded people, because it's not just one people like the First Nations people, it's all of them uniting to take down this corrupt process.
Thanks so much.
No problem.